The How Not to Suck at Divorce podcast cannot be copied or rebroadcast without consent. This podcast does not contain legal advice. The information provided on the podcast and the resources available are not intended as and shall not be construed or understood to be legal advice.
Hey there, Morgan.
Hello, Andrea.
How's it going over there?
It's going. No complaints today so far.
I know. Well, it's early. It's early yet. So there's lots of time, but I'm certainly not complaining that we are here with our lovely listeners to bring everybody another really powerful episode of How Not to Suck at Divorce.
Take it section by section so you can really understand what's going on here.
Aggravation is temporary. A settlement agreement is permanent.
And this is How Not to Suck at Divorce.
Okay, so we've got a big topic today. We're talking about how you absolutely have some things you need to make sure you understand before you finalize your divorce, which that is a topic that I really wish I would have listened to before I finalized my divorce. I'll tell you that much.
I bet. That
funny story.
That's a story. So, you know, it's funny because usually this season we've been bringing on guests every episode, but Andrea and I thought this is such an important topic. There's a few legal topics that are so important and there's so many action steps that people miss that we thought it's just better if we just do it ourselves because we can bring you the information concisely without a guest. And hopefully Andrea can pipe in on some of the things that she did wrong during her divorce.
In fact, stay tuned for the very end of this episode where I read you my own MSA.
Oh God, I hope not.
Imagine people are like, wait, is this real? Is she allowed to do this? No, she's not. Well, actually, are you? Are you allowed to do that?
So it's funny, back in the day, I would say that, marital settlement agreements or judgments and the meat and the potatoes of the agreement were just put in the court file, at least where I practice, just for anyone to pop in and just peruse through. And I would say about 8 years ago, we all started wising up and being like, this is nuts. Everyone's financial information. It's, you know, the heightened of people stealing identities. I'm like, it's just open in the court file. So now we do not do that whatsoever. But the fact that you could probably go and 10 years ago, look at anyone's financials and see if they're selling their house, see whatever, you know, it was just open.
Wait, are the old ones still open? Like, could we go and find somebody's?
I would say, yeah, because most court files don't take anything out of it if the file is still with the clerk. So, you know, if you're bored today, you have something to do.
I'm just saying, if we ever decide to open up the subscription section of our podcast where you guys have to pay to listen to stuff, that very first episode is going to be hear Mr. and Mrs. Cohen's MSA and let's see how much they sold that house for. Okay, that's what we're getting into today. But before we get into that, I have a job to do, which is to bring you what I am currently obsessed with right now.
I love this segment because it brings about things that we didn't even know we needed.
Things that we're literally obsessed with.
I'm ready.
All right. So as we all know, or not we all, but if you're listening to this in real time, it's currently December something. What is it? 13th. It's December 13th here. And you also know that I'm a proud card-carrying Jewish woman. I have an obsession with watching those really bad Christmas movies.
Ugh.
I know. And I'm letting down so many people by admitting this, but it's true. I don't know why. I can't stop.
Well, I know why, because at the end of every really bad, like Hallmark Christmas movie, it's a good ending, right? Is there ever a bad ending? Like, wow, that really sucked.
I'll let you in on a little secret. I don't watch the endings. I like the beginnings.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. Now our listeners are just tuning out because who does that?
Me, but maybe not. Maybe hear me out. I like the beginning because I like seeing this like conflict, and I'm using air quotes right now, that this like big city girl has when like nothing's going right in her life. It's so hard. So then for some reason she ends up in Alabama and she's like got to chop down logs. And then she meets this like cute guy who's got a little bit of an attitude. And, you know, next thing you know, they're like, wait, am I giving the plotline to Sweet Home Alabama?
I think you are. But honestly, I was going to say it's the same plotline throughout. Every one is the same plotline.
But there's something about that that I find so comforting. And I think it's because right now I'm going through like a tough season. Things feel hard in my world right now. So I think that I find it comforting to watch somebody else's, here come the air quotes again, hard. But it doesn't look so hard. It's kind of nice. It's kind of like, oh yeah, look at her. She's struggling too, but she's got it together. And man, her hair always looks good.
So basically, if you start packing up your stuff and moving to Alabama, we know what's happening.
Oh, can you imagine?
You in Alabama? No, I cannot.
No, that would not, that story would not have a happy ending. So I think I'm going to stay here. I'm going to continue to watch the beginning of these movies. The end is too, it's like nauseating to me. You know, like I don't need the hugs around the Christmas tree. I don't need like, oh, because it's the magic of the season. All right, now you lost me. But I don't know. I'm into it. I like to have it on in the background while I'm working. I don't
sit
there.
It's like classical music for you.
Exactly. It's like ASMR for people who are in a real bad place during the holidays. And I'm not in a real bad place. I'm in like a, you know, mediocre place. Okay. If you are also in a funky place because you are inching closer and closer and closer to ending your divorce, we know that there is that feeling of, I want to be done, right? I'm over this. I hate the way I feel. In fact, most divorcing individuals just want this process over with because it's long, it's expensive, it's uncomfortable, it's painful, and it just sucks.
Yeah, I hear that. And I have this conversation with my clients all the time, especially coming into the end of the year. They say, I want to wrap this up. How much longer? What are we waiting on? And I completely understand. However, I have to remind them over and over, it's really important that the end of this process is not rushed.
And I mean, I know why, but tell why. Why is that?
Well, because, and this is why this episode is called Don't Finalize Your Divorce Before Listening to This Episode. When you have this sense of urgency to wrap something up, you're more likely to glaze over details that you really should be paying attention to. Details that could actually have a really huge impact on your life post-divorce.
I mean, that's such a buzzkill, but I know you're right. And I was totally that person who wanted everything over with. I entered that, like, I don't give a shit phase. Let's just wrap this up.
And let me ask you this. Did you make mistakes?
Well, I mean, the show is called How Not to Suck at Divorce for a reason.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So let's get into some action steps here. And this is why we're doing it without a guest today, because we want to just get to the heart of what we're talking about. So what exactly do you need to be on the lookout for before wrapping up your divorce? So I'm going to start, but Andrea, do you have any input over here?
Yeah, guys, let me give you a list of things that you need to do. No, clearly not. And this is why I stay in my lane as the funny person with the real life input. And I leave you to these legal steps.
Okay. All right. So before we get into legal steps, let's start with this mantra, right? You've been through so much. You're still standing. How long in your mind has your divorce been going on? Probably forever, even if it's only been half a year. Will another month kill you if it means essentially doing it right and not making mistakes? Remember that aggravation is temporary. A settlement agreement is permanent. Let me just repeat that again. Aggravation is temporary. A settlement agreement is permanent. So you may think, oh, no problem. There's a few things in a settlement agreement that can be modified in the future. Maybe that's right. So in Illinois, you can always modify child support. And also potentially if you have a maintenance or alimony, sometimes that can be modified as well. But for us, the rest of the agreement, once it's in stone, it's in stone. So although you've had it, you're done, rushing it is a huge mistake. All right, moving into. Oh,
I feel like just, you know, from someone who's gone through this, I have to say, and I'm a big fan of like the deep breathing to like stop and regulate. So I think that if there was a way that we can like everyone, like you take a big breath and as you exhale, you think exactly what Morgan said, this aggravation is temporary, right? Because we all know that all bad feelings, like they don't last forever, but this settlement agreement is permanent. So before you send that email to your lawyer, that's like, I don't care anymore. Give her, I don't care. Right. Really right. Stop and think. All right. So give me an example.
Okay. So just a few things. I mean, there's a bunch of things that you need to know, but I'm going to just talk about three things today. So number one, this is a big one. Is make sure you understand every term in the marital settlement agreement, even if it's legalese. So Andrea and I talked about this before we even started this episode, and Andrea came up with a fantastic idea on how to make sure that you know exactly every term in the agreement. Andrea, why don't you weigh in on that?
Well, you know, okay, so I'll tell you guys what actually happened. Morgan and I were going back and forth on, you know, how can we articulate these things that we need people to know? And the first one that Morgan shot over to me was, you know, make sure you understand everything. And I'm like, right, but that's just it. They're not going to understand everything. And they don't want to understand everything. It's too much. The other thing I was thinking about is when you get an email with an attachment from your attorney, you know, you're looking at it on your computer. And I don't know about you guys, but there's a difference between looking at something on a computer screen and then having actual paper in front of you that's tangible that you can like write on. So my suggestion and Morgan's suggestion is forget about the trees, print it out. Print it out so you're holding it in your hands. Take a red pen or a highlighter and physically mark things that don't make sense to you. Don't just go, if you don't understand it, circle it. Circle it because you are circling to find a solution. The solution is you're going to take that question to your attorney. And like we have talked about in so many other episodes, help your attorney help you. They can't read your mind. They don't know what you're hung up on. And they don't know how to best spend all, like in terms of answering your questions, you have to help them spend those billable hours in a way that's going to make sense for you. So if you have a question, you've got to ask.
Right. This is not where you want to save money. This is definitely not where you cut corners and want to save money. And I will tell you that lawyers sometimes make mistakes too. So we could put something in the document that we think makes sense tax-wise for you and your family. And you're like, oh, I kind of trust my lawyer, no problem. And then when it comes down to it, you're like, well, wait, that isn't best for my family. I just didn't understand that term. That's the things that we want you to be circling for a solution. And those are the things that we want you to ask your lawyer. And your lawyer will appreciate explaining those because they don't want to make a mistake either for you or your family.
No.
So don't feel bad.
It goes off of, well, what's commonly done is, because I think a lot of times attorneys want to save you the money. So they're not going to go through everything and say, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. They're going to use what's been typically done. And then it's up to you to look at that and say, okay, hang on right here. What does this exactly mean? And then they'll say, well, it means that every quarter she'll give you this and you give her that and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh, wait, hold on. Can we do it a different way? I don't like that.
Right. Smart. Okay. So to recap, number one is circle anything you don't understand to find a solution and talk to your lawyer. Do not cut corners and do not try to save money here. Pay your lawyer for their time. Make sure you understand it. Number two. Okay. This is something we've kind of touched on in other episodes, but for those of you who may not feel like they're up to speed on financials, you're not alone. So when you're dividing out accounts in your marital settlement agreement or your judgment or wherever, whatever it's called where you are, you need to make sure that you understand and you ask your attorney what kind of tax implications, if any, are accounted for in this division. And are we dividing it what's called in kind, which means exactly as equal as possible? Or am I taking more of certain accounts that may have tax implications? So those are things that you have to understand. You have to understand the tax implications, if any. So you may be spinning right now, being like, I just want to shut down and not listen to what she's saying. Let me just give you an example.
Like I am. You said the word tax implications and I'm like, meow.
So let's just talk about retirement accounts. Certain retirement accounts have different tax implications, meaning are they taxed when you take it out, you know, when you're 75 or whenever you determine to take out the money, or are they post-tax dollars? So if you determine that you're going to take the first one, which is taxed later in life, that's a lot different than the one that's already been taxed. So you need to know what kind of assets you're taking. That's why it's usually what I recommend, unless it's a very, very large estate and we can get really creative, usually dividing things 50-50 down the middle in kind is the smartest way to go. But those are things that I want you to circle and ask your lawyer about. What are the implications here?
And luckily, the MSA is divided up into different sections. So you can, and this is something that we really haven't talked about, but we should probably add in, is if you have a very meaty MSA, don't try to look it all over in like one fell swoop. Take it section by section so you can really like digest and understand what's going on here.
Exactly. I always say to my clients, not only print it out, which is what you said, Andrea, which is so helpful, but wake up in the morning when you maybe don't have to get the kids out the door, or, you know, you're more fresh, get your cup of coffee and take, say, I'm going to take, you know, 8 pages a day, 8 pages per morning, because otherwise you will miss something, because at the end of the day, sometimes you're just reading through it and you're like, I blacked out. I don't even know what I read the last 2 pages because it's a bunch of legal jargon.
Right. Right. Is there something, and I don't know if this exists, but can you actually, if you work better this way, can you take an hour or two face-to-face with an attorney and go over this? Or do people typically not do that?
Oh, I would love that. I would love that. But you know, this is why we're doing this episode, because so many people close to the finish line just rush it. And lawyers have to be really delicate because we know that the client is done. They're done. They've been done. They want to be done. So we will suggest things like this. Like, do you have any questions? Oh, no questions. Right. Just get me divorced. And then God forbid, you know, I've seen some really bad divorce decrees that I didn't do, but they've come back to me to say, I'm in a really tough spot. Can we change this? And I have to say, I can't take your case because we can't change it. So that's what we don't want you to get into.
You know, it's interesting. As you were saying that, I thought of something. At the beginning of a case, when the emotions are really high, right? Because it's all fresh. We want to be face-to-face with our attorney, right? Can I come in and talk to you? Because you want the emotional support too, right? Because right. You're giving this person money. You forget that they're not your therapist. You want, you know, I shouldn't say that. It's not that you think that they're your therapist, but you know that they're helping you legally get divorced and get quote unquote, what's yours, protect the kids, yada, yada, yada. So you want to get in front of them. But at the end, when you really should be getting back in front of them, making sure that this document reflects exactly what you understand your settlement is. Again, it's not reflecting what you want, because that's not what an MSA is. This is reflecting what will be.
Right.
People want to just, you know, email it and be like, okay, it's fine. I'm sure it's fine because we've already talked about this. It's going to say whatever I told you. I think it, you know, blah, 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 blah. Fine.
Well, and to that point, you know, one other thing that happens, which is a lot of times it's last minute negotiations, meaning there's a few red lines here. And then I'll call my client and say, hey, this is what's changed. I'm sending it over to you. Check it out. Give me the green light. So a few red lines back and forth, and you've completely forgotten what you've agreed to. So that's when it's most important to print it out fresh before you sign off on that and have that last meeting with your lawyer to make sure everything is good.
Especially in situations where things are more contentious, there tend to be deals made last minute.
Yes.
Because sometimes if you are divorcing somebody who is holding their cards until the very end, when they know you're tired, they know you don't care anymore, it is often a chess move to be like, okay, let's slide this in. So, yes. And then you're like, okay, I don't care. Fine. You can have this, but then you forget. So, okay, we'll stop on that, but there's so much there.
There is so much there. So let's just recap kind of what we've talked about, and then we're going to get to number three. So the first one is circle to find a solution. Get your document printed out, meet with your lawyer that last time, and circle anything you don't understand. Number two would be talk to your lawyer and understand all the tax implications of the accounts being divided. Just make sure that you ask them to dumb it down. If you're really, really confused, that's okay. So it's a lot of people that don't understand tax consequences. The lawyer should, not every person, normal person getting divorced should. So that's understandable. Number three, okay, this is something that happens at the end of the year, and we're at the end of the year, so I'm going to talk to you about it. So if you're getting divorced closer to the end of the year, that's something that's on the horizon, I should say. You want to know whether it makes sense to stay married until the first day of the next year or any time in the next year so that you can file joint tax returns. All right, let me say that again slowly. So if it's November and you see that you are coming into the end of the year and you may get divorced before the end of the year, or you have the ability to be divorced in the new year, you want to talk to your tax advisor to say, how much money would I be saving if I just held my divorce over to the new year? Because you have to be married for one day in the new year in order to file joint tax returns for the prior year. And usually what I see, and I'm not a tax professional, so definitely talk to yours, but I see it saves people thousands of dollars filing jointly rather than rushing the divorce, getting divorced before the end of the year. Now, Andrea's zoning out, but it's a big point. Andrea, what are you
I was zoning out. I wasn't even zoning out. I was thinking because my divorce was finalized in December. Okay. And I was trying to think like why, but mine was also during the COVID year. And there was some financial stuff going on because of that. So I wonder if it wouldn't have made a difference because of, other stuff. But I'm thinking, oh, that's so interesting. People realize that this goes back to the same thing. In the beginning of a divorce process, people think about all this stuff. But then at the end, and I think that's the common thread here, is that at the end, you're tired. It's everything that we said at the beginning of this episode. You just want it to be done. You're over it. You're over getting divorced, much like COVID, right? Towards the end, we're like, I'm over COVID. I'm over it. It doesn't exist anymore. Okay. I'm done with it. It was cute in the beginning, but now I'm over it. But you're not actually, it's not actually done. And there are things to think about. So I think if there's one big looming idea that we want to leave everybody with is you have to stop, take that breath, and remind yourself that this aggravation you're going through, no matter where it's coming from, that is temporary. But what you're agreeing upon is not temporary. That's permanent.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to stop.
And also, I feel like a lot of people, just seeing all my clients throughout the years, put arbitrary deadlines in their mind. And then they get frustrated when these arbitrary deadlines are not met. So it's like, I am going to be divorced by summer. I am going to be divorced by the new year. I'm going to go into the new year divorced. Does it really matter? It doesn't matter. That's what you're putting fake deadlines in your head. And yes, maybe you need that for hope a little bit to get moving. But at the end of the day, doing it right is what's most important. So you can feel like a new you in February if it's right. So try to avoid these arbitrary deadlines in your head so that then, because I get all these emails from clients, I wanted to be divorced in June and now it's September. Right. And a lot of things are out of our control, but also out of your control. So then when you blow these deadlines, it just makes you more likely to make a bad decision because you're frustrated.
It's so funny that you said that because I totally did that.
Did you?
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing that I don't think we often talk about, but I think it's worth mentioning, if you're getting divorced and you're like me, where you are already in a relationship with somebody else, that plays a factor. And yeah, there's a few sides to that, right? And like, look, life happens. We're not here to tell you don't get into a relationship until your divorce is finalized, because that's often not realistic, especially if your divorce is going to take over a year or a long time to like settle all these things and organize all these particulars. I don't think it's realistic to tell people don't date, don't fall in love with someone else. You're going to ruin the rest of your life. No. However,
I would say legally talk to your lawyer. I know that Andrea is the more practical one, meaning she's in the trenches, but you also have to make sure you know the risks of dating. So if my clients
you know have to know the risks, but again, we can't tell people you can't fall in love.
No. I would never, as long as they accept the risk.
Be smart. We always, right, be smart. But what I'm saying is, and I'm talking about this from an emotional standpoint, another reason, Morgan, why people would want to wrap it up is because they've got someone there on the side who is going through that divorce with them. And they see the effect that your divorce is having on your new relationship. Yes. Now, if you're just casually dating, then it's obviously not an issue. But if you're already in a relationship with someone, on some level, they want your divorce to be done because they're tired of it. And you have to be able to compartmentalize all of that. You have to be able to say, I understand that this is a lot for you, but you can't just speed things up because you want to please this other person. And that's, I'm not saying that I went through that. I'm saying because I've been public about the fact that I was in a relationship while getting divorced, I've had a lot of people message me and talk to me about what they went through. And I know that that's a common thing. So that is something that you bring to your therapist, you bring to whomever is professionally helping you with the emotional side of this, or message us, message me, I'll talk you through it. But don't let that pressure have you make some big mistakes.
Yes, agreed. Okay, so we've hit our three action steps. Now, could there be more? Absolutely. But these are the top three that have come to mind that you don't want to make mistakes on. So let's recap it. And then I'm going to tell you about what I do for clients at the end of their case, that maybe if your lawyer doesn't do it, that's okay, but maybe you want to do it. Okay, so number one, make sure you understand every term in the divorce decree. Circle to find a solution. And don't waste time not meeting with your lawyer, or don't try to save money there. That's not a good place. So number one, circle to find a solution. Number two, make sure you understand the tax implications for any account that may be divided, whether it's in kind or the taxes are accounted for. If you don't know the answer to that, that's okay, but that's why your lawyer is there. Number three, if you're close to the end of the year, and close could be, you know, a few months through the end of the year, think about whether it makes sense and talk to your tax person to stay married through until the first day of the next year so that you could file joint tax returns. And then the overall mantra that we continue to say is read, 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 and read again. All right, so now that we've done the top three, one thing that I do at the end of a case, let's just say you finally get your divorce, is what's called a closing letter. And not all lawyers do this, but if they don't, that's okay. But I think it's really helpful for clients and maybe you want to do it. So basically, what is it? Well, one, it's a letter that recaps exactly what's in your marital settlement agreement, because I can tell you, when we get your divorce done, the last thing you want to be reading is your marital settlement agreement. Andrea's like, oh yeah, she's shaking her head over there. You probably want to put it in a drawer and never look at it again. So I recap important things in your divorce decree. But the better thing and the most important thing that I do in that letter is I note special dates and action items that you have to do, because there's a lot of things in your divorce decree that's like, you have to do this within 14 days. You have to change this within this amount of time. So if your lawyer doesn't do that, I suggest that one night or one morning, make a timeline, for lack of a better term, for yourself. This is the time that I have to change my life insurance. This is the time that I have to change over a title. This is the time that there's a review potentially on my maintenance or alimony, and I should be contacting a lawyer. And that could be in a few years, whenever it is. But you don't want to blow dates, because that's what's super important. So think about making your own timeline when you get there.
When you said closing letter, the first thing that came to my mind was like a letter, like a closing like letter to opposing counsel and your ex. And so I thought you were gonna be like, well, that was fun. Glad we did this. In closing, I'd like to recap that. I'm like, oh, that's kind of a nice idea. And then you went in a different direction. I don't know why I'm thinking that people would want a closing letter.
Like, Andrea, I can only imagine what your closing letter would look like.
Yeah. Again, stay tuned for our special subscription series where Andrea reads you her MSA in closing letters. Again, and you can do a double subscription to receive a list of all of the gifts that I sent to my ex during our divorce process. And I said gifts. G-I-F, not G-I-F-T.
Yeah, very, very big distinction right
very
there.
Very big distinction, but there were lots of gifts sent.
Well, thanks for ending on something positive, because I'm going into our next section. Let's be positive. Let's be positive, because we all want some positivity in our lives.
Now we're going to do Morgan's favorite part of the episode and my least favorite part, while I have to scour the internet finding feel-good stories.
I found this quick story that I thought was pretty great.
Okay.
So basically what it is there's a gentleman, his name's John McFall, and he became the world's first astronaut with a disability. And he's also a Paralympian and a surgeon. I mean, talk about somebody who hasn't let adversity get them down. And talking about, I thought it was relevant for us because we have so many listeners that are going through really, really tough times. And, you know, I think that at people's levels, when they're going through this, it's their decision. You know, there's some days that are going to be really bad, but what you do with that adversity really means something. And this guy essentially he lost his leg in a motorcycle accident. Then he decided to become a Paralympian in 2008, and he won a bronze medal. Mm. And then he trained as an orthopedic surgeon to help others. Why stop there? And then he went on to become the first astronaut with a disability. I mean, John, you are amazing.
I mean, John also feels a little bit like an overachiever. And I think that John could probably use, you know, a weekend of some TLC watching a really bad Hallmark Christmas movie. But hey, you know what? Good for John, but like enough
for John.
This is a little annoying, honestly. People like that laugh at me. Like, really, you have to do it all. Honestly, could you not just like, I think the astronaut part is what did me over.
It is.
Everything else is great. Mazel tov. I'm so happy that you've had such a rich life and you're helping other people. Truly. And I mean that, but you got to go into space too.
Right. You couldn't do something a little less just flashy.
Just go on a vacation. Go on a normal vacation. Go to Boca. Take a cruise. You got to go to the moon. Listen, John. All right. That did me in. I don't know. I don't know. But whatever. To each his own. God bless you, John. Have fun in space while you're out there hanging out on Uranus. We are here on Earth helping people get divorced.
Oh my God.
I can't even. Over here. But you guys, we are here because we know that this process that you are doggy paddling your way through. Morgan's still laughing.
I just can't. I did not see that one coming. Oh my God.
I didn't either. It was one of those things where I just kind of landed there, much like how he landed somewhere in the atmosphere. And it just happened to be your anus, not your anus, for those of you listening, the planet.
Okay, well, I'm going to get it together. So listen, we love and appreciate every single one of you. We know that divorce is hard. We know it's draining. And we know that the unknown can feel scary. Our goal is to offer some guidance and at times some of Andrea's random humor. So ultimately, we're trying to help you not to suck at divorce. So would you please go online on our Apple podcasts, like us, rate us, review us. We would really appreciate that because we see you and we see you downloading and we really love to see that.
We love. And I have to also give a shout out to the beautiful country of Norway, where once upon a time, like a few weeks ago, we were at the very top of your charts. And I don't know what happened, but then we took a little dip. And I just want to say, Norway, I love you. If it were up to me, I would have sent John to Norway to vacation in your beautiful country. So Norway, we love you. No, come back to us. But no, truly, you guys, and especially with this episode in particular, share this with your friends. If you're listening to our show and then you've got a friend who some of what we talked about reminded you of him or her, send this episode over. We do this show because we want to help you. So share it with the friends in your bunko club. Share it with your mailman or woman who you know is probably going through a divorce. Send it to your ex. Send it to anybody. We're here because we want to help. And I'll tell you something about sending it to your ex. A more informed person is a calmer person and a person who's going to make more sensible and logical decisions. And that's what you want.
Exactly. Because when you're in the thick of it, it's day by day. Sometimes it's hour by hour. But remember this, you've got this and we've got you.